Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, our weekly radio program where we focus on all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am today's host, Brady Winter, and my guest today is adult gerontology primary care nurse practitioner, Jade Williams. Before we get into the show today, I have just a couple of really brief announcements. On Wednesday, January 28th, starting at noon, Van Deese Medical Center is hosting a free Lunch and Learn, or Empower Half Hour. Join us for a presentation by registered dietitian Christy Zweifel, where she presents on eating 30 plant foods in a week challenge. Watch for more information coming out on our Facebook page. The next announcement is about our February SALT meeting, Seniors and Law Enforcement Together. It will be featuring John Laird, the Hamilton County Naturalist. He will do a review of the 2025 Public Naturalist Programming with a look at what's to come in 2026. He will also discuss plans for the Conservation Office, sharing a vision for the future Nature Center. The meeting will be held in the Meeting and Display Room at the Hamilton County Conservation Building, located at 2490 Briggs Woods Trail in Webster City. Again, that's the February SALT meeting on Thursday, February 5th, starting at 9 a.m. And let's get started. Jade, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So our show today is Reset, Not Resolutions.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, so, I mean, really the question came to me, how many New Year's resolutions have you made in your life and how many of those stuck? It's a pretty common thing. We start kind of thinking about it in maybe earlier in the year prior before we, you know, travel into the following year, start thinking about maybe those changes we want to make. And, you know, we've always been encouraged to then set those goals or resolutions. And then, you know, start of the year, you start trying to fulfill those goals. But really by mid-January, after we've made those resolutions, the gym becomes a little more quieter and suddenly we feel like we've maybe already failed those goals for that year, even though it's barely even started. So this year, like you said, we're not going to be talking about resolutions. We're going to be talking about resets. So resolutions really tend to focus on the perfection and pressure, and resets are going to focus more on reflection, intention, and flexibility. A reset says, I'm adjusting and not starting over from zero. And I think that's something really that should resonate with all of us. That perfectionistic piece with the resolution versus just identifying and meeting yourself where you're currently at and making those adjustments from there. So a reset isn't supposed to be dramatic and not erase what progress you've made, more of just a pause, reflect, and recalibrate. A reset means reflecting on what worked and what didn't, letting go of the habits that drained your energy, keeping what already works, adjusting and not restarting. And you can consider framing it as a reset isn't about becoming someone new, but it's more about becoming aligned. So really the question I asked myself was, why do resolutions not work? Resolutions usually sound big and bold. I'm going to change my whole life, or I'll never procrastinate again. Maybe that's a little more dramatic than your resolutions, but or maybe this sounds a little more aligned with what a resolution for you sounds like I'll be productive every single day. But here's the problem. Real life doesn't work that way, right?
We might. Absolutely.
Yes. We set these good intentions, right? These positive intentions. But you have to think about that motivation is going to eventually fade. Your schedules are constantly changing. You know, you and myself both have small children. And it's like there's always something, you know, between school and activities. Times are changing, variable, your work schedules, all of that. Bad days are going to happen. And when a resolution breaks, we don't say, okay, let's adjust. We tend to immediately fall on or start to say to ourselves internally, we failed. And so that all or nothing mindset can become really exhausting. And a resolution, unfortunately, tends to set us up to expect perfection. And a reset really is just looking at the progress. So most of us don't need to become a whole new person. We just need to realign with who we already are. And current behavioral research notes that lasting changes comes from small, repeatable habits, supportive environment, and realistic timelines, as well as self-compassion, so not pressure or that perfectionistic piece. Small resets you can try would be like a reset is really should be thought of as a check-in. So it's asking, what's working? What's draining me? What do I want less of? What do I want more of? And a reset doesn't erase that progress. It builds on it, and you don't reset your entire life. You reset one thing at a time, which is also different from a resolution. So really thinking, maybe it's your sleep you want to try and reset. Maybe it's how you talk to yourself. Maybe it's how much pressure you're putting on yourself. A reset should say, I'm allowed to change the plan, and that can become quite powerful. So reset ideas, these are just kind of, I thought about what do we typically have going on in our daily lives. Well, the first one would be like a digital reset. So one screen-free hour a day. You know, I have an iPhone. It has a little thing that it compiles every week, and it tells me how much screen time and where I've been allocating that those screen time hours to. Mm-hmm. So
mine does too. It's kind of embarrassing sometimes. It's like, right? Oh, I did what?
I haven't quite figured out, and this might sound so silly that I don't know the answer to this, but I need to look, I guess, better maybe at what it's collecting, because sometimes it'll tell me my number is quite high, but I use my phone with multiple apps like for work and podcasts and books and things like that. And so obviously I think it does account for all of that. So sometimes I feel like it's higher than it really should be, but right. Maybe I need to be more.
Right. I mean, if you're doing the dishes and streaming a podcast for an hour and a half, well, it's collecting that hour and a half of phone usage, but you're physically doing something else.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's, but just taking a look at that and then maybe trying to set a mindful reset in regards to that or a new goal for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then really a mental reset. So stop apologizing for resting. this can be one I feel like, and this might be more generational, speaking, but feeling guilty for resting. I think myself and, you know, multiple other people I've visited with, we tend to feel guilty for just taking an hour or two and maybe sitting on our couch and letting that laundry basket sit there and not thinking we have to, you know, immediately put it away or putting away, you know, if you made breakfast and there's maybe still food sitting out on the counter. So just giving yourself the ability to just rest and take that time for yourself. A social reset. So spending time with people who recharge you, not necessarily drain you. I think sometimes we get into social situations and we may not really analyze who we're surrounding ourselves with, but thinking about do those relationships align with me? Do they make me feel better? Do they, you know, do they not? And just kind of doing a little self-reflection with that.
Right. Like are those interactions positive or negative? How did they make me feel coming out of it?
Right. Like, do you leave and do you feel
fulfilled?
Yes.
Or drained?
Right.
And that person, you know, unfortunately sucks the life out of you. I've had that too.
Right.
So, I think we all have.
Yes. And some of those you can't necessarily avoid all the time, but just really being more present with the time that you do have and allocating it as well as you can to the things that bring you joy. And then a self-talk reset. So really thinking about talking to yourself in a more positive manner. So replacing I failed with I'm adjusting would be, you know, just a simple tweak there. And then really thinking that the goal is to minimize that feeling of pressure that you're putting on yourself. So progress, like I said, isn't erased by those pauses or adjustments, and you're allowed to change the plan. And a reset can really happen any day, not just January 1st. So identifying that with yourself and reminding yourself, maybe you set that to be one of your reset goals, is that every Sunday you allow yourself to realign, reevaluate maybe the ones you were able to make, and then start to build on top of those throughout the year. So questions you can ask yourself: what's one thing you want to reset this year and not change completely, just reset? What's something you're letting go of from last year? What's a habit you're keeping because it already works for you? If you could reset one expectation you have of yourself, what would it be? And what does a good year actually mean to you? Not a perfect one, but a good one. So some research-backed strategies that I found. The first one you can consider would be shifting your focus from outcomes to habits. So why this matters: traditional resolutions often emphasize outcomes. So we tend to focus, maybe if it's a weight or a fitness goal, focus primarily on the pounds you want to lose, not the behaviors that produce those outcomes. So research found that people who focus on small specific habits rather than those big results are far more likely to sustain a change. Experts recommend building systems and daily routines because habits are the mechanisms that make goals automatic instead of aspirational. And studies continue to show that outcome-based goals like weight, grades, money are tend to be less effective than behavior-based goals because behaviors are within immediate control. Research shows people stick with change longer when they focus on what they do, not what they want to get. And results come later. And unfortunately, those habits have to come first. So instead of saying, I want X result, pick one action that supports it. And success isn't an outcome. It's a series of repeated choices. But also, success is difficult to measure because we usually tend to set that success goal, whatever that might be. And then once you reach that, you might not have that level of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And then so it can be, then you're constantly moving the bar, which is okay. I mean, you're trying to overall improve yourself, right? But sometimes setting a bar for that success isn't going to be as fulfilling as it actually will be to be holding yourself accountable for small habits. So habit formation takes time, so you have to be patient. A large review of habit formation research found that habits don't become automatic in 2 to 4 weeks, or we tend to hold this 21 days. That's something I kept seeing repeated when I was reviewing the research, that 21 days forms these habits, but it's actually takes more like 56 to 154 days. So you're really looking at 2 to 5 months or more, depending on your person, as well as whatever activity it is and how different it is from your prior baselines. Mm-hmm. So
So how do you navigate that when... Okay, the 3 weeks is what I've always heard, 21 days,
right,
to form a new habit.
Right.
And it does make sense that it's much longer period of time than that.
Right.
How do you navigate those times where you kind of fall back into old habits,
right,
or fall away from habits? You know, maybe the goal is to have the dishes clean every night before you go to bed. And one night, well, you're playing games with the kids and you just say, you know, oh, I'll get the dishes tomorrow.
Right.
And then the next day comes and the next day comes, and then you're falling back into those old habits. How do you kind of reset, even in those small moments to get back on track to that bigger goal?
Right.
Do you have any input there?
Well, I mean, like personally,
yeah.
So if I fall off, no matter what it is, so whether it's the dishes and they're kind of piling up, I don't know why, but like I have this innate habit with myself. If I set like a very strong outward goal for myself, I kind of self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage. So, what a great term.
Yes.
Very familiar.
And so it's really difficult because then you really have to dig in for grit, and then you're like, no. And you have to kind of prove yourself that you can do it. But I think it's innately like a way I just don't want to let myself down. So it's like, oh, well, if I set that goal and I didn't fulfill it, and then I allow myself to continue that desired habit, you know, then I'm setting up self-sabotage. I'm really just negating all those little goals or resets that I set for myself. So then that's when I have to dig down and find grit and hold myself accountable. Like, okay, well, I let myself backslide for X amount of days. Well, now I'm, now's the day.
Yep.
And I'm going to prove it to myself that I can do it.
Yep. And I made excuses for myself for those days of why I self-sabotaged. But eventually we have to just come and face the music and say, no, not today.
Right.
Not right now.
And it's not perfection, like I said. So really, in the 80-20 rule is a great way to try and kind of maybe put into your life. I mean, that would be something I definitely recommend. So 80% of the time you're doing your intention or your reset or your habit or your goal or whatever you want to identify it as. And 20% of the time, you're probably not, right? Mm-hmm. That could be anything from eating choices to working out to doing the dishes or
TV
picking
time.
Up the house, TV time. But that gives yourself a little bit of grace. And so if you already know you expended that 20% for the week, so I know there's not, you know, we have 7 days in the week, but I kind of tell myself, well, if I don't meet my target goals for 2 days, that's okay, because I had 5 other days that I could be aligned with what it is that I want. And most of the time, it comes down to maybe just really listening to yourself. I mean, sometimes you just don't have it in you to go maybe throw up the weights. Or maybe you don't have it in you to go and just unload the dishwasher and reload the dishwasher. Like, for some reason, it's just not sitting with you for that day.
I wish my kids would just do it.
Right.
They're capable.
Yes.
They can.
Right. And so then that becomes another thing too. You whether we want to accept it or not, we're being role models for our children. So if they see us dig down and find that grit, even on the days that we don't want to do it, we're setting a positive example. Because that's the thing. The motivation fades, but then hopefully you've already developed some of those habits so that you can continually to push yourself to do those more positive outcomes. Because we all know, nobody likes to look at a sink full of dishes, but once you do it, it's so much more pleasant. Your mind feels a little bit lighter, right? You look over and there's nothing in the sink, and you know, and
same goes for laundry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, laundry is never ending.
My closet is the laundry basket.
Right. Yeah. We have baskets just kind of all over. Yep. Ryan probably feels like I'm move them around instead of actually just putting them away. It's probably my least favorite chore. But
does your family, I know we're getting off topic, does your family have a sock basket?
We have tried the sock basket. That didn't go so well.
It's like a scavenger hunt every morning.
Yes. Now we have a sock laundry basket. It's gotten much larger.
I guess that's what I was referring to. It's a laundry basket. The full size. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And then sometimes we get those socks paired up and put away. You know, the intention's always there.
But
right?
Then you wear them.
Yes.
And they end up in the basket again, and it all starts
over.
And
somehow we always lose multiple matches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Okay. I'm glad we're on track there.
Yes. So just tagging back into that habit formation. So like I had said, those real changes are going to take months and not necessarily the 21 days. And so that reset is really about consistency and not immediacy. So making sure that you're developing those consistent habits, whatever that might be, and whatever your goals are for yourself or your family. And then this helps combat the all or nothing mindset, where people give up early because they don't see instant results. And I mean, just personally, when I started like really working with a trainer several, you know, I think we're coming up now on 6 years of that. When I started that, it was very different for me because I was not familiar with weightlifting or doing any of those things. And I have a personality that tends to focus more so on perfectionistic tendencies. So like, if I couldn't do it or do it how it was outlined for me for that day, like I couldn't meet everything to a T, I fell into this very much of like, I'm a failure. I didn't meet my goal for the day. So being able to realize that just one or two bad days isn't going to, you know, negate the progress that you've already been making. Mm-hmm. Also, anything is better than nothing. So maybe we go back to the dishes and you unloaded the dishwasher, but you never reloaded it. Well, that's okay, because it's the dishwasher's still empty, and now you can come back at a later time and reload it. So even just those small little tweaks here and there are still better than choosing to not necessarily do anything mm-hmm. because of that all or nothing mentality. And science finally, you know, has cleared this up. Habits don't form in 3 weeks and they form over months. So if you're still adjusting, you're not failing, you're just right on time for whatever your schedule is. Leverage implementation intentions, or known as the if-then planning. So really, what is this? It's a well-studied psychology strategy where you plan exactly when and where you'll do a new behavior. So this would be setting that intention. So it's if it's 7 a.m., then I will walk for 15 minutes, but making it a very feasible goal for yourself. And then these plans help bridge the intention action gap, which is a major reason that resolutions fail. So this is doable, right? And it might not be 7 a.m. Maybe it's 5:30 after dinner, but I will walk for 10 minutes or I will walk for 15. Giving yourself something that you can give yourself that check mark, like, oh, I did it. And then slowly building on that. Obviously, the goal would be maybe you start expanding the amount of time, but allowing yourself enough time of consistency before you start increasing that goal or that thought, whatever it may be. Turn intentions into habits by saying, if this happens, then I'll do that. It's a simple wiring trick your brain loves. And then this strategy helps listeners anticipate cues and triggers the prompt action. So context and routine matter more than motivation. Research, recent studies show, emphasize that context, where and when a behavior happens, matters more than just wanting to change. So stable routines make habits stick because the behavior becomes predictable and less effortful. So research shows that context and environment predict habit success better than motivation, and people tend to default to what's easiest in their surroundings. So that's why it's always so easy for us to kind of backslide and maybe not necessarily hold ourselves accountable. Motivation fades, your environment doesn't. So the easier a habit is to start, the more likely it will stick. And also then allows for you to build on that. Reset framing, reset your space, not your personality. Mm-hmm. Phone charger, out of reach. You know, that might make it so that you're not necessarily on your phone as much. If the phone charger is not readily available where you can just, you know, keep plugging in, then you're being maybe more mindful about how you're using your battery time. And then journaling, you know, if your intention is to journal, making sure it's just open to a blank page. Wherever a safe space might be, or wherever you would choose to journal, so that it's, you know, you sit down and it's right there. And then this aligns perfectly with your reset theme. Small environment tweaks can support bigger changes. Design for internal motivation. So don't rely on external rewards. According to recent reviews of behavior change, interventions that help users internalize their reasons for change are more sustainable than the ones that rely on your external gamification or short-term incentives. So link self-compassion, not self-criticism, to better long-term behavior change and resilience after setbacks. Beating yourself up doesn't make change stick. Research shows people do better when they adjust kindly instead of quitting. And reset framing, a reset says, okay, that didn't work, but what will? Break your goals into minimal effective doses. So experts stress that smaller, manageable steps outperform dramatic overhauls. Starting with the smallest effective action builds momentum without overwhelming you. So starting with 5 minutes of journaling versus a 60-minute ritual that can feel overwhelming. Think tiny wins. Small, consistent habits beat huge bursts that burn out fast. Physical and cognitive factors also affect your success. So emerging research has shown that things like sleepiness and fatigue increase your reliance on old habits and make new habits harder to maintain. Adequate rest isn't just healthy, it supports cognitive resources needed for change. Research confirms that fatigue increases reliance on old habits, making your change harder, and reset arrest, I'm sorry, improve self-regulation. So if change feels hard, it might not be discipline, it might be exhaustion. Your reset framing then should be, sometimes the most powerful reset is actually rest, and sleep isn't optional when you're resetting your patterns. So making sure you're prioritizing that restful sleep, and which will make it much easier for you to meet your goals for yourself. So basically summarizing those, the 7 research-backed reset strategies that I've discussed: 1, focus on behaviors, not outcomes, build small sustainable habits. 2, expect time, months, not weeks, be patient with your habit formation. 3, use if-then plans, specify when and where you'll act. 4, leverage context and routines, tie new habits to existing behaviors. 5, connect with internal motivation, align with personal meaning. 6, start small, minimal, effective dose, avoid overwhelming. And 7, those physical and cognitive factors are going to affect your success. So you don't need a new year to change, but if this year gives you permission to reset instead of punishing yourself, that's a pretty good place to start. Because a reset doesn't say you messed up. A reset says let's pause, adjust, and keep going. Small change compounds. That's how real growth happens. I think we forget to give ourselves permission to say we don't have it all figured out. What I hope you take with you today is you're not behind. You don't need a brand new version of yourself. Sometimes all you need is a reset. And the best part, you can do it any day. It doesn't have to be on January 1st.
Awesome. You know, what a simple but powerful message.
Right.
And, you know, I might speak for some people out there, but especially for myself, I personally needed to hear a lot of these things because sometimes my habits are to be hard on myself.
Yeah.
To jump to, well, you know, that didn't happen, so I failed. And now it's over and the end is here and you know, everything's bad. And it is. It's really easy to mentally stay in that spot, in that place. And then, you know, you go to bed and you wake up and first thing you do is kind of be hard on yourself again. And then that's just kind of the life that you're cycled into.
Right. It doesn't help either. There's a lot of external influence pressures of that too. I mean, doesn't matter if you're on any type of social media platform, you know, whether that's Twitter or X or whatever, or TikTok or Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those things. Those algorithms, they've been picking up on whatever you have been looking at over the year. And if you click on one wrong thing or something that for some reason caught your eye, I mean, the things that you can become inundated with just over and over, it makes it easy for you to think that you are a failure.
Right.
Or you're just not meeting societal standards, which is not necessarily the case at all. I mean,
Social media especially can be draining in all aspects. And I do know for listeners out there that might not know, there are features on posts that you can hide posts like this.
Yes.
So if the algorithm is starting to send things that are making you feel tired, your self-worth is at jeopardy, or you know, political anger and frustrations or whatever it is, it's usually 3 little dots in the corner.
Yes.
And you scroll down and say hide or unfollow or don't see things like this.
Yes.
You know, whatever the category is, and it helps for tomorrow's news feed to be less of what today's was. That is something that I've practiced over 2025 at least.
Right. And so like that could take us into a whole nother radio show, because why social media is so terrible for kids or even those really 25 and under, because everything's still developing neuronally, all these connections. And so just that constant inundation, I mean, the way that it can make an adult feel who we have developed typically rational thought processes,
and,
and things like that. And so in children who are so influenced, I mean, that's their job. They're trying to influence.
And a lot of times they'll compare themselves to the influencer. Like, why can't my makeup look just like theirs? Or you know, I can never get my hair to do this. Or you know, how can they afford this big car?
Yes.
You know, these fancy houses and stuff. And what about me? Those are patterns too that kind of need broken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe for another.
Maybe for another show.
Right.
good way to end the show.
Yes.
Jade, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks,
Brady. And that will do it for today's episode of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.